of the Wilmer Municipal Utilities Commission to order, and today, Monday, August 27th. And the first thing on our agenda is the annual facilities tour, so we'll head out for the tour.
Anyone want to invite Audrey to take part with us?
Yes. Will you come with us, Audrey? Will you come with us too, Logan? Okay, all right, let's go. Thank you, everyone, and we've got a little wrap on that tour, and we will continue on with our meeting at this time. The first thing before we do anything else is Zach is unable to be here this evening, so I need someone to be an acting secretary for this meeting. Someone would be acting secretary. Someone would be acting secretary.
I can.
Okay, thank you, Bruce. I guess just take my, this out of my pocket, make sure. Sorry. Okay. First thing on the agenda here, we're starting earlier than stated, but, oh no, I take that back, it is 3 o'clock, and a little bit earlier, I guess, than what we thought we'd be on the agenda, so hopefully that can get going. I don't see anybody else that we, outside visitors here, so we have an issue with that. Any changes or additions to the agenda tonight? None, we'll accept the agenda as printed, and then we'll move on to the consent agenda. Again, that includes our minutes from our August 13th meeting and the bills that are due for payment. So I'll entertain a motion for the resolution to accept the consent agenda.
So the resolution.
Okay, one made it and one seconded. Okay, is that all right, guys? Okay. If the motion has been made and seconded for the consent agenda, then I will open it up for any discussion at this time as you look over the bills there. One of the commissioners that they saw. Anything from Denise or John that went out? I think they were pretty.
Madam Chair, unless there's questions, everything on here is routine or part of projects that have been discussed prior to the commission or prior to today by the commission.
Chairman, I'll introduce a resolution to approve.
Thank you. Second.
Resolution number 40, payment of bills.
Second. Bruce and Nate. Okay. Hear any further discussion?
Okay, roll call. Commissioner Lammer.
Aye.
Mattern.
Aye.
Weber.
Aye.
Leek.
Aye.
Magnuson.
Aye.
McDonald.
Aye.
Thank you.
Can I just ask for two motions on the same thing?
Yeah.
Let's go for three. That's we'll take care of it.
Yeah, we'll go to first.
Oh, listen, I'm looking on my sheet here.
Yeah.
No, we really got that funny look back.
We can skip one.
Okay, we'll skip one. Thanks. Okay, we'll go on then to the Planning Commission committee meeting minutes, and I'll turn that over to Commissioner Mattern, please.
Thank you, Madam President. Planning Committee met last week, Thursday at noon. The first item on our discussion was regarding budget items, and one of the first things that we looked through was actually the new power plant, the water treatment plant. Options that are being presented or have been presented for that. There's three options, and if you go back into the Planning Committee minutes in your packets, you'd be able to review some schematics on those options as well. First one was taking a look at the existing building and what it would take to perhaps go over top of that. The second one was kind of an addition to that building, and then the third option was a completely new facility. After some discussion and looking at the options that were presented, it was recommendation of staff, and it is the recommendation of the Planning Committee that we proceed with option number two, which will be presented to us at a future time, but that's what we're going to be recommending for that. That's the option, as Joel had mentioned on the meeting today, on the tour. We'd be adding an additional facility and then expanding from there. So that was kind of the recommendation for that. Following that, we had an update on the 2019 budget, the proposed budget, as well as capital improvement projects. And since we'll be going through some of that here briefly, just to give everybody an overview, we did have a pretty lengthy discussion just on where things are at. The fortunate thing is that we are in a good position. It looks like we're able to cover our capital projects, especially on the electric side. We were pleased with the numbers that we saw there, and we are not projecting any need for any kind of an increase in our electric rates for the foreseeable future. So that was positive news. In addition to the other items that you see within the minutes, I'm not going to go through those specifically. Like I said, we'll have a little further update here from our finance director. Following that, we did have an update on United Way employee contributions and just an update for the rest of the commission. It was felt that as a public entity, having an outside group come in and kind of fundraise, if you will, it wasn't fair that we were maybe not including other valuable organizations in the community, and so we're going to be dropping that as a policy moving forward, rather than inviting them to come into here just to allow staff to be able to contribute to any kind of an organization that they wish to do. With that, that is a brief summary of what we did cover. Like I said, things are looking good. The only notable thing is that we are going to have to do take a look and address some of our rates, perhaps on the water side, but again, the electric side does look good, so just wanted to reiterate that. With that, we adjourned at 1:35, and I would stand for any questions. No questions, I would offer these minutes for approval, motion for approval.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made and second to accept the Planning Committee meeting minutes. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Pull the same sign.
Madam Chair. Clarification on that. Commissioner Mattern talked about our water treatment plant. Just to make sure that everybody recognizes that the Planning Committee is recommending to move forward with option two, is what you referred to as a 50% build-out. And that's a option that Joel talked about out there at the water treatment plant. Yeah, a price tag of $8.5 million plus engineering of about $1 million, so we're looking at $9.5 million approximately. And right now, Pearl is waiting for the go ahead to move forward with that design option.
Okay. At this point, it's been approved as part of the minutes. Do we want it pulled out separately?
No, Madam Chair, I'm not requesting that you do that. I just want to make sure everybody's aware of it. Commissioner Mattern touched on it, but I just wanted to make sure that the commission as a whole is aware that that is part of the meeting minute approval to move forward with option two as stated in the minutes.
So that there, as you said, there will be a lot more details coming on that as we go along here. So if there was anything that...
That would be correct. With the approval here tonight, Corolla will move forward into design. As we move through the design, we will continue to bring that information before the Planning Committee and or the Commission on where we are at in design of that project. So.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Any discussion about that? I will open that up at this point. Okay, and we'll accept it as the motion that was made, and just know that there will be a lot more coming as we go along on that, and much more in detail, but at least it gives them the go-ahead to start the process. Okay, and then next is our budget, operating maintenance budget and our capital budget to go through. And at this time, I'll turn this portion of the meeting over to Denise and to John to go into a little bit more detail, kind of how, you know, some of the worksheet information and that type of thing with it for the commissioners, please.
Thank you. I will start with the electric operating budget. That is under the electric tab under the operating budget. You will see the yellow column. That is last year's 2018 budget. 2019 is on the right. We are estimating operating revenues on the electric side of $33,261,894, operating expenses $26,949,727, other income and expenses and intergovernmental transfer to the city. We are estimating margins of $4.1 million for 2019 on the electric side. Are there any questions on the electric operating budget? All right, we'll move on to the water budget. Estimating revenues under the water side of $2,856,979,000, operating expenses $1,988,642, other income brings us to retained earnings $889,350. Moving to the heating budget, we are estimating revenues of $185,000. We do have indication that Rice Hospital, our largest consumer, will be off early in 2019. So that is the effect of the decrease on the revenues. Expenses $432,333. Other income allocation, retained earnings a loss of $231,573 for 2019. The final total combined operating budget, we are estimating revenues of $36,303,873. Total operating expenses $29,370,701. Other income and expenses and intergovernmental transfer, retained earnings $4,788,408. The number, the 1.48%, is our increase of operating expenses over 2018's budget, so just a minimal increase for 2019. Are there any questions on the operating budget?
And could you just highlight what makes up that 1.48% increase as you see it?
You know, it's a net combination. As you'll see, the production, operation, and maintenance is considerably lower, and that is due to the power plant not running. But then you'll see the purchase power is considerably higher. Net on those three lines, I think there was a difference of about, was it 200,000 that we had calculated? So overall, that there's just a difference of a $200,000 increase. Transmission operation is up about $400,000, a little bit on customer service, and general administrative is actually down a little bit, just due to allocations of labor and that kind of thing. So overall, it's just kind of a net increase, decrease. It's such a small number, it's hard to pinpoint, but probably the majority of it is in the power supply area. As far as the revenue, we did calculate, as you remember, 2019, we do have a 5% increase in the water rates. So there is a 5% increase on the water revenue included in these numbers. As well as our labor contract, there is a 2.75% increase that is factored in here. And as far as health insurance, last year when we signed the contract with Health Partners, we were capped at a 15% increase. We do not have the numbers yet. However, we did use 15% just as a worst case scenario in our costs when we factored the budget. Further questions on the operating budget? All right, we will move on to the capital budget. Capital budget is the projects or the equipment that we anticipate purchasing or working on in 2019. As you see under facilities, we have another $1.175 million set aside for the office building. We also have $110,000 for heating conversion. That is for both the service center and this office building to convert from district heat. Under the line department, we have our standard construction projects, $1.2 million, vehicles and equipment, $225,000, and our standard transformer purchase of $114,000. Under transmission, we have construction projects of $54,000, GIS software of $72,500, and surveillance $50,000, which is for the substations, water treatment plants. Under the water, we have meters $71,000, plant construction $4.255 million. Part of that number is that new water treatment plant. Water mains $220,000, vehicles and equipment $44,000, tools $12,400, and then GIS $33,000. Customer service, we have our MDM software, $50,000, a test bench for $30,000. Energy services, we continue to change out our load control receivers, so this is our second annual amount of $303,000. We'll have two additional years of 20 and 21 to complete that project. And then technology, approximately $94,000 in firewalls, equipment, servers. Total capital budget, $8,131,264 for 2019.
And I know that the GIS has kind of been started. Is this after this money is spent and at the end of 19 that will be fully operational then?
Madam Chair, I'm going to refer to Jim. We have more in future capital budget years as well. I don't recall what the full number, estimated number is. Do you, Jim, remember what the full GIS build-out estimate is?
So we've spent approximately $40,000, and most of that was on equipment to collect the GPS location data. This next budget item for the year 2019 is for the software mapping system and servers to build the maps. And beyond that, we'll have to look into, are we going to go to tablets or mobile devices for our field workers? That hasn't been budgeted yet. And we'll have to get a better idea of what the labor will take. Some of this money for 19 is labor to collect the points and build the maps too. So what we know now is in there, but there could be more to come on that.
Okay, because I know that we've been talking about that for a few years, so.
Also, Madam Chair, I can point out under the water division, water mains, you see $220,000 there. If you look at the five-year plan as a whole, we bumped that up to $250,000. But in reality, our cost for water main replacement, based on history and a 75-year replacement schedule, we are looking just shy of $500,000 a year. And the reason that comment is important is the city, when we started discussions last November with the city, they would like us to take that over because of $4 that have been implemented on our customers' bills. They claim $1 of that $4 goes to water main replacement, and that is not enough to cover water main replacement. And rather than the city increasing those rates, they want us to take it over, being that we are the water department. So we are still in discussions. Joe and I had another discussion about a week and a half ago. The MOU that we started, we pushed back to the city staff and asked them to respond by Wednesday here this week. And hopefully we can get that wrapped up. But when we start looking at our rate in our rate study for 2019, we are going to have to more than likely include the full cost of water main replacement, as that'll become our responsibility as we wrap up that MOU with the city.
So,
I think with the water main replacement, I think we need to keep in mind that a major expense with the water system is for fire protection here in town. And that fire protection is actually a city responsibility. They can assess for it and whatever. And depending on how the water system is built, it will affect our MSO insurance rating, which could have a major impact on our insurance rates for everybody here in town. So I think, Sean, we need to keep that in mind as we're talking about who pays for the water. Because we only need a water system that delivers water to the house. We don't need it to deliver it to the fire hydrants.
So that's been part of our discussion, Commissioner DeBlake, that the initial build-out should be the responsibility of the city through assessments and or through the city, and then after that we would take it over in our rates. But the fire hydrants and the leads of the fire hydrants would remain the responsibility of the cities. And those are some of the issues holding us or keeping us from completing our MOA with the city staff. So, more to come.
Anything else that point out, John, from your perspective on the budgets that we haven't covered?
Not necessarily as additional questions. A lot of the assumptions that are in the budget Denise covered. We talked about the capacity payments on the diesel generators as we were touring. We talked about rate studies coming up. Commissioner Manning mentioned that. buildings in there. 21, if it's approved, what's in here, building, possibly to look at purchasing land next summer. Design in 2020, and breaking ground in 21 or 22. So that'll be coming up here in the next comments when Denise gets into the cash flow statement. You'll see how that ties together. But those are the assumptions that have been used in the preparation of the budgets.
Okay. Any questions from anyone here? Okay, then we need to approve that budget. I'll make the resolution to approve it, and look for a second.
Madam Chair, that resolution will include the budget and operating maintenance budget along with the capital budget. You may want to wait until we get through a statement of cash flows to see how it all comes together.
Oh, okay. I was stepping ahead there before we got to that part. All right, I withdraw that.
Moving forward, we'll look at the statement of cash flows. There's one for electric, one for water, and then a combined statement of cash flows. So the first one I've labeled electric statement of cash flows. We start out estimating what our December 31st cash on hand total will be, our investments, less our reserve funds. And then we start with our 2019 budget and then 2020 through 2023. As you can see, our cash on hand for electric remains pretty stable. This does include dollars for the new office building. You can see the majority of that is sitting in 2021, along with $14 million for new generation. The only item in here that we've included bond funds is the $14 million for the new generation, sold at 125%, so that we are not having to fund that extra 25% of the bond in reserves. And then, of course, those reserves are out of there in 2022, along with those payments for the new generation. In addition, there is a line on there. You didn't see it on the capital budget, but power plant cleanup. We have those dollars in 2022 and 2023. Obviously, that's a moving target and can be done at any time, but we do have approximately $3 million in there for cleanup of the power plant.
Madam Chair, to expand a little bit on the generation piece that we talked about at the planning committee level. The generation also is a placeholder. We do not know where we will end up with generation yet. There's many different options that are being explored. As of Friday, I believe it was, Thursday or Friday, we had a meeting with Missouri River, and we're in the process of exploring possibly up to 26.6 megawatts here. And with that said, our capacity payments would be different than what we have today if we were to build new generation. So once we have the research done and the study work completed on options, we're going to be studying generation options types, so they're standalone, building, gas availability, all those things that would provide the information that we know to make a good solid decision will be coming forward. So this generation at $14 million in bonding for it, that is at this point in time merely a placeholder till we have more information. We have a chance to bring it before the planning committee along with the commission to vet out what do we want to do and what is it going to cost us to do that. So more to come on that.
Are there any questions on electric cash flow? All right, we'll move on to the statement of cash flow for the water department. Again, we start out with cash on hand at the end of this year, investments less our reserve funds. Biggest item, obviously, is the water treatment plant we have in 2019 and 2020, with bonding for it again at 125% for the 25% reserves. The bond dollars as well as the reserve funds are all accounted for on here, along with the bond payments going forward. And And as you can see, looking out 2022 and 2023, cash does start to get a little slim, and that is why we've talked in the rate study that we really need to look at the water treatment, or the rates due to the water treatment plant going forward. Any questions on the cash flow for water? If we look at the five-year capital improvement plan, that is our cash flow statement overall. That includes both water and electric. And you can see the cash remains pretty stable, including everything. And at end of 2023, with just short of $20 million, $19.263.
That said, Madam Chair, just to expand on that, last year, we looked up where we were. Last year, on our combined cash flow statement, we were roughly at negative $5 million. And we are looking this year at a $19 million or a stable cash, net cash flow from 2018 out to 2023. I'd just like to commend the commission as well as staff for, you know, the difficult discussions and the good choices and the leadership by the commission as we continue to vet out all our options and we prepare the utility for the future here. We're starting to see the benefits of those decisions, and they're significant. So I'd like to commend the commission for the leadership they have given staff here and moving forward.
And I'd add an extra thank you to the planning committee, because they have done they've had some pretty tough meetings this year, and lengthy meetings, and topics going, you know, the projects and stuff. We've got a lot has been accomplished in the last couple of years, and going forward, that the projects are planned out, strategically planned out there. So not only to the staff, thank you, to the leadership of yourself, Mr. Heron, and to that planning committee, because that was a lot of work, and appreciate that. And of course, I suppose I better say to the Labor Committee a little bit too, but because that does tie into it. But it's working well to have that much of a swing from one end to the other in a year's time. So a lot of hard work has gone into that. Now, can I approve it?
You can approve it.
I'll open up first before I do that if there's any questions right at this point. I'll make the motion for the resolution to accept our budget, both the operating and our capital budget. I'll look for a second.
Second.
Motion to accept the resolution for our budget, for the two budgets, has been made and second. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify. Oh, excuse me, roll call. Man, I'm out of the loop tonight for whatever reason.
Commissioner Mattern?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
McDonald?
Aye.
Lahmer?
Aye. Okay, thank you. And next we'll go to the current financial reports. Denise, if you'd report that, please. Thank you.
Thank you. We will start with the electric financial statements for July of 2018. Looking at the top section in yellow, total operating revenues comparing year-to-date to prior year-to-date, we are just over $1.5 million ahead of last year on our revenue. Looking in the middle section on operating expenses in the orange, we are just a little over $1 million, again, ahead of last year in expenses. Overall, retained earnings, net margins in the green on the bottom were $491,000 ahead of last year, and we are slightly ahead of budget year-to-date through July. Moving on to the water division for financials, again on the top in the yellow, we are $133,131 last year in revenue. In the expenses, we are $185,240 ahead of last year. This year with the city franchise fee, we have moved the intergovernmental transfer from the water all to electric. So we have a difference of $87,254 there. So we are $47,239 ahead of last year overall net margins for the water department. And we are again slightly ahead of budget in the water as well. Looking at the heating division, we are just over $9,000 behind last year in the revenue. Below budget on expenses of $46,000, and we are $82,854 ahead of last year on the margins. That just has to do with our decrease in costs. We're not spending money on the system as we're starting to shut it down, and revenue will continue to decrease. So it's kind of a guess of where our revenue and margins will be on heating. Overall, total division, total financials. In the yellow on the top, we are $1,647,211 ahead of last year in our revenue. Our expenses, we are $1.1 million ahead of last year as well. Overall net margins, we are $621,143 ahead of last year. And we are ahead of budget, $397,481 year-to-date through July. Are there any questions on the financial statements for July? Last item is our investment portfolio. You'll see our year-to-date yield is 1.06%. Comparing that to our BARCAP government fund or credit board that we had set our benchmark against, that's at 0.19 or 0.95. So we are exceeding our benchmark in our investments. One item to note, Heritage Bank, the rate yield still at 0.32. We did move those funds to the jumbo savings account towards the end of July. That was completed. So next month we will see that rate increase.
Again, Madam Chair, our yields are meeting the bar cap. That has to do a large part to the change in our policy that the Commission approved here 2 months ago, roughly, which allowed us more flexibility in investing. If you recall, we talked about our policy required us to stay within the state of Minnesota, and a major change in a policy allowed us to leave the state of Minnesota for investments. So that's basically the net effect of that change. So again, we thank the Commission for supporting that change.
Any questions on the investment portfolio?
Question, Denise or John. Of the money we have there, the 24/7, how much of that is required to have for bond covenants? And
I'd have to go back and look for sure, but I believe it was about $8 million that we had sitting there that was operating reserves and bond covenants, and those were reflected in that cash flow statement.
Questions? Comments? Okay. I always forget on this one, if we need a motion on this to accept those. These are just for your information, right?
Just for information.
Okay, then we have an update on our Missouri River information, and I'll let you, our general manager, take over that report, please.
All right, thank you, Madam Chair. Missouri River Board of Directors, starting in August 9th, have elected to provide summaries of their board meetings to help keep their membership informed of the topics of discussion that take place at the board and what they're doing to prepare the power supply and the ancillary services that they provide the communities for the future. So with that said, the first document is an outline of the items that were on their agenda, and then along with that, they also provide a short 5 minute or less video that recaps that discussion as well. And if you want to focus on the screen up there, Mike will start the video, and it's just shy of 5 minutes.
Missouri River has five strategic priorities. These are
On the second meeting of each month. We should have the receive the update by that time, and we can add it to the agenda for viewing.
Okay, then we'll go to the summer meeting that we just attended, and up in Alexandria for the Minnesota Municipal Utilities, and I'll start out with Denise. Let you start out with the, since we're all down to give a little report, I'll let you start, Denise.
Yes. There was a legislative update that I found very informative. One, I believe, was from out in Washington, D.C., and then the other update that we received was from local state of Minnesota. They're very familiar with the politicians and their stance on things as they relate to us in the utility world. They seem to be very proactive. It was very informative to listen to them go through a lot of those details.
One of them, Mike Nolan, the lobbyist, he's, if you ever get a chance to listen, he's just a ball of energy and tells about it. It's very interesting how he leads into what's happening out there, you know, like you know, with the farm bill, the SNAP component is where they're struggling with that. They hope to have it done by the end of September, but they're quite a ways apart with what the House wants and what the Senate wants on that. And the one interesting thing about that, he said, was that the co-op is kind of their, the farm bill is kind of their sandbox, is how we described it. And the one big thing with that is the issue of the service territory. And that's always with the co-ops and municipals. We get along well except for that one item. So that remains to be seen, and that will weigh on our shoulders as constituents to make sure that we can voice our opinion if it comes along enough, or let them know about that. Okay, Bruce, I'll let you.
Yeah, it was very interesting. I had the opportunity to sit with Mark Nolan at the reception, welcome reception the night before. You say he's got a lot of energy, a lot of ideas, and a lot of things to talk about. You know, he's enlightened us on a number of things going on in Washington, but he's also looking at some of the races coming up in 2018 with just some in the watch, or probably the one major one is in Texas, the Senate race in Texas. And then also we mentioned 2020, with the presidential elections, that maybe the Montana governor might be one person to watch for coming up within that that realm of things. So as a presidential candidate, we'll see how his predictions pan out. And he has a ball of energy and very interesting to listen to and talk to. Also, like you said, Denise mentioned the statewide legislative developments that are coming up. Really interesting. And also attended the policymakers' side of things, and there was a 1 to 4:30 talked about board policies and how boards should work together and what we should do. Interesting presentations by Troy Adams from the Elk River Municipal Utilities, I think is the utility director down there, and he talked a lot about board policies. Got a book on his presentation and the like, so maybe something we can look at in the coming months here to see where we're at with that. But I think we are in fairly good shape. With that, the other enjoyable thing was the trade selling reception on Thursday evening. Chance to talk to a lot of vendors and see a lot of people that we don't normally see in a lot for. Vendors that do work for us, and see a lot of things that are out coming up on the products that don't normally see that they're out there. So, but Arrowwood is always good, feed you well, a lot of meatballs. And that was a good conference. So,
and I'll just talk a little bit about the workshop was our new vision for a SIP that we are part of, which is a conservation improvement program. And both the co-ops and the utilities know that there's a lot of reporting that needs to be done, a lot of administrative work with that kind of gets bogged down, it seems. and they're both, right now we're working together with the co-ops to come up with a new program. It's called SEEP, which stands for Comprehensive Energy Efficiency Program. And it's really kind of in the beginning stages of where it should go. And it was interesting, after sitting in that session and listening to different folks talk within the room, and some thought it was, you know, something needs to be done, but they weren't sure that the SEEP, the way it's currently where they're kind of talking about, if that's really the right way that we should do. The things that they talked about as far as in that new vision was for the EVs, the electric vehicles, solar, and air source heat pumps, as far as how does that conservation fit into what's required by law to do. So I'm sure in the Minnesota Resource Magazine that you get and that type of thing, you'll hear more about going with that program to possibly change it. It's just from an outsider looking at that, we have to work with the government with that one and regulations. It's probably a fairly steep climb uphill, but you don't want to say never to it. If it will help, because there is a lot of administration that work that goes with that. Okay, then I'll let John kind of hit where we missed.
Okay, all right. Thank you, Madam Chair. Opening speaker had to do with basically changing times. The presentation topic title was Shifting Gears, Changing Lanes, and they talked about, you know, the different changes, the way people approach it is, you know, nose to the grindstone, you shut out everything, you just keep doing what you're doing. You got those individuals out there. And you got those that like to, you know, gossip, make themselves right, everybody else is wrong, with embracing change. And then you have those that deer in the headlights, they don't know what to do about the change coming. And then you have those people that embrace the change, they take advantage and run with those opportunities. So it was fun to listen to as the opening speaker there. And as I kind of close with stating that we all make assumptions and we all have choices to assume, and we can either assume the worst or we can assume the best. And those that assume the best out of those assumptions of change, we'll embrace them and we'll move forward with them. Talk a little bit on the SIP programs or CREEP. Missouri River mentioned EV vehicles also, that they're talking about programs to incentivize them. But I found an interesting statistic that was presented in that presentation was 3 miles per kilowatt hour is what the new EV vehicles get. And $2.39 gas and 13 cents per kilowatt and 12,000 miles per year, there's a $400 per year savings in gas consumption with those costs, $2.39 and 13 cents. So that was interesting. A little bit more on the update, Michael Nolan, Washington update. Mentioned service territory. That is in the Farm Bill again to make provisions to service territory. So we will be watching that very closely as we get into session here again. Our reimbursements from FEMA for catastrophic events, they're looking at changing the reimbursement process or plan as well. Dave Berg does a rate study, Dave Berg Consultant. He was there, gave a presentation, talked a little bit about the changing again. And again, in Missouri River, you heard Missouri River mentioned time-based rates in 5 years. Rates are coming, changes are coming to them again, and basically not knowing where things are going to end up, but with all the renewables coming on, we got our stranded costs, we got our fixed costs of providing service. They have to be covered in our fixed charges. So when we talk about doing a rate study for next year, on the electrical side, as you heard in our budgets, we do not need to generate more revenue. However, we need to reallocate our costs that we have that are fixed into our fixed charges so that we have our costs covered, so that those individuals that want to build solar, take part in solar, that they still pay their share and not being subsidized by others. And other than that,
probably one last piece yet that wasn't covered by everybody else is our business meeting. Dues on the average are increasing by 5%. Our share will be 4.41% for 2019. Our dues will equal next year $3,545. So, and the reason that there's variables, the average is 5%. It's based on a twofold formula. One is revenue, and the other part of the formula is kilowatt sales. So based on those two assumptions, when they plug into the formula, is what drives everybody's rates to be a little bit different. So other than that, I believe between all of us, we pretty much covered everything that was presented at the conference. So I would like to say thank you to the commission for allowing us to attend. It's always good information there. And I take that back. I'd have a second, one last thing. In front of your desk, if you would have saw a pamphlet like this, Beth had handed out. It's called 2018 Legislative Report. If you want some bedtime reading, it kind of gives you the overview. It identifies the new laws that went into effect and the laws that did not go anywhere, that were vetoed, as well as laws that will be returning for the next session. So they can follow the laws in this handout here. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. You're welcome. The one last thing is the partnership between APPA, the American Public Power, and Minnesota, that they're doing a lot of things there. It's calling a toolkit in order to help different utilities going forward. And at this point, it hasn't come out. It's just they just talked about things that they've been working on, and our folks from our state association have helped quite a bit with that. Again, as usual, Minnesota State is a leader in many things, and they're working with the National Association. So I'm not going to go into a lot of detail on that because there will be much more coming out once it's approved. At this point, there's still a work group in place. Okay, and again, I just encourage anything that you can do to come in. And of course, in networking, I always find valuable. People are so willing to share when you ask questions about different things. Okay, if there's no other further questions on that, we'll turn the final over to Mr. Heron as far as his report.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Unless there's additional questions on the General Manager's Board, I have nothing further to add other than anybody that would have time to take in the Missouri River Municipal Power Leadership Academy September 19th and 20th. Please let Beth know and she'll get you signed up. So far we have Commissioner DeBleek signed up, Denise and myself. So it's a good place to get a high-level overview of the organization, meaning that we're new members, the services they provide, you know, power supply, ancillary service, things of that nature. So if you have time, by all means, give consideration to it. We leave in the morning on the 19th and come back on the 20th late afternoon. It's wrap up at noon. It's about a three-hour drive.
Okay. Any further questions? Mr. Heron? Moving on, any further questions to come before, or anything, other topics to come before the commission today? Anything else? Meeting is adjourned.